Earth was left alone with no help from the home planets, for the Pleiadians had too many problems of their own and had no interest in the small colonies that still existed on Earth. As time went by, the little blue planet was thought so little of that on many occasions, groups of renegades were expelled there. It even served as a prison colony for a while. Earthman has not developed naturally because of genetic engineering by our celestial fathers. 58,000 B.C. The Great Plan. Societies had come and gone in the Pleiades, for the old Lyrans could never seem to get along for more than 10,000 years without going to war. Finally, 60,000 years ago, at a point of high population and technology, they decided once again to colonize the Earth. A great exodus occurred as hundreds of great spaceships with thousands of people came and built up a civilization which would last for 10,000 years. It was a great time for Earth, and the wars in the Pleiades seemed to be left behind. Large cities are built that reflected the advanced thinking and knowledge of a race with a legacy of millions of years. All the continents of Earth were inhabited, and man was living in harmony with himself and the planet. It was almost 10,000 years before the great society began to quarrel and fight among themselves. This time it was the scientists who were the cause of it. They wanted to take control and rule through the hand of material technology instead of spiritual awareness. The technology was so advanced that weapons had been designed that represented a new level of expertise, even for the Lyrans. This war was so devastating that it annihilated almost all life forms on Earth and erased every trace of their existence. It brought on a period when savages roamed the Earth and once again lived in primitive villages. The spirits of the original 144,207 Lyrans who came to Earth thousands of years before, plus all those who had died since, were sleeping on the other side. 48,000 B.C. Pelagon, the first god on Earth. For several thousand years the Earth was a dormant place of scattered tribes. Meanwhile, a great war was raging on the three home planets in the Pleiades. One of the great Pleiadian leaders of the time, who had captured the hearts of many, was a man named Pelagon. He was one of the more powerful leaders of his time, earning the title Ishwish because of his tremendous understanding of the spiritual laws. He could see that the future held great devastation for the people who followed him if they stayed there, so he decided to flee the Pleiades and look for a place of safety and refuge. Upon making his decision to leave, he was followed by 70,000 people, including 200 scientists, and fled the wars which were bringing death to so many. It was known to Pelagon that Earth could support life similar to the home planets and was largely uninhabited at the time. Fleeing the tyranny and death that always seemed to follow the Lyran family, he led his people on a quiet and peaceful Earth to start a new life. As the Earth grew under the leadership of Pelagon's 200 appointed sub-leaders, the worst war of all time was still raging on the home worlds. But under Pelagon's leadership and the guidance of his lieutenants, they populated the many continents of Earth and created a society of love and spiritual growth. Life was flourishing and peaceful as Pelagon was good to his people. He taught them the ways of spirit and how life should be lived by observing the laws of creation. This was a society built on spiritual knowledge instead of material greed and power, and it was working. The true natives of Earth, the brown-skinned race, were in awe of the great power of the Ishwish, Pelagon. They were very underdeveloped in comparison to the settlers from the stars, but lived in harmony and peace with them, and Pelagon treated them with respect and love. A master of the knowledge of material life through the development of spirit, Pelagon's seemingly magical abilities caused many stories among the Earthlings, which told of his abilities to rule over life and death. One story was passed on that he was once seen floating in air, held up by the power of his mind, and by casting a look at a small tree, he caused it to grow. Because of the great power over life and death the Earth people believed he possessed, they called him God, generating the idea that God was a man who held power over life and death. It was Pelagon who became the first God image on Earth, thus starting the concept that we were created in his image. Finally, in the Pleiades the spiritual leaders were able to overtake the scientists, and peace reigned at last. The people learn to trust in the truths of creation and the knowledge and wisdom of the spiritual laws. This is a normal process in the development of most races, for in the beginning stages of development man lives entirely by material sense and thinking. And then as he evolves through numerous lifetimes, he slowly learns that he is more than just a physical being and begins to solve the problems of life with more spiritual solutions. At a certain point in the development of a race, enough people advance spiritually, and the old material ways of force and power give way to the more spiritual ways of love and light. With this kind of shift in consciousness, societies experience monumental change. This change came to the Pleiadians, and over the next 8,000 years they developed themselves to a very high spiritual level, and they were at last able to leave behind the long legacy of war and bloodshed of their Lyran past. They still live by those peaceful standards today. Nothing was known on Earth of the peace in the Pleiades. Pelagon is still ruler, and for the first time in 300,000 years, Earth was living peacefully and happy. The force of his spirit allowed him to live for 4,000 years, during which time he guided the planet to a degree of spiritual development that surpassed anything known in Lyran history. His vision of life helped this great civilization last for almost 10,000 years before a newish wish by the name of Jesus came into power. Jesus lacked the morals and knowledge of Pelagon and began to rule through power and control over others. He had only ruled for 20 years before the people would no longer stand for their world being ruined. They rose up against him, causing war to break out again. After living for thousands of years in peace caused by the love of the great Pelagon, the people wanted no part in a world of war. So, by the hundreds of thousands they fled to a nearby star system known as Beta Centauri, leaving behind a war that brought total destruction to Earth. 31,000 Darcy, Atlantis and Mu. There are few myths or fables that capture the imagination of man more than the story of ancient to Atlantis. If it really existed, what happened to it, and why is there no trace of its existence? Stories have been passed down for centuries about the huge island continent that existed between what today is called Africa and South America, a place where our forefathers lived in a society even more advanced than ours and traveled the stars. As an example of how Pleiadian technology can change fable to fact, here is the true story of Atlantis and our connection to it. After the great exodus to the planets in the Beta Centauri area and the destruction of life on Earth, there was a span of 7,000 years when travelers avoided coming here. The only life to be found was a few scattered tribes of brown-skinned humans who lived in primitive huts. They were the original Earth inhabitants, who were still very underdeveloped, and were of no interest to the star travelers. Gone was the technology of the great society of Pelagon that had raised the consciousness of man to new heights. The Earth has fallen into a time of darkness and despair. Light years away lived the descendants of those who had fled the Earth thousands of years ago. Here in the Barnard star system, a society of human life flourished and lived peacefully. After all, they were the sons and daughters of the great Pelagon, who had taught them how to live in peace and harmony with creation. This rich heritage provided them with a spiritual advancement that left behind the cries of war and the struggle for power, and created a world of peace and spiritual growth. Among the leaders was a kind and generous Ishwish named Atlant. He was a tall, blonde-haired, broad-shouldered man of obvious Lyran descent. His bright blue eyes and pale white skin painted a picture not unlike his Lyran ancestors of millions of years ago. He was very popular, and although life there was peaceful and happy, he longed to lead his followers to an our world where they could start a life full of adventure and growth. There were many who decided to follow Atlant, and plans were made to migrate to Earth, a small planet their ancestors had lived on that was hospitable to human life. Here they could create a whole new world. At first only a few came and found the Earth to be rough and untamed. After piloting their great ships over most of the Earth's surface, they decided to build their first city on a large continent located just above the line of the equator, which had a warm climate good for living. Having lived peacefully for thousands of years, their technology had developed to a very high state, So it was only a very short time before the beautiful architecture of the star travelers began to fill the horizon. As the city grew and word reached back to the home planets of the success of their new home, thousands more left the Barnard system and came to Earth. Within only a few short years, the Great Society, named after its leader Atlant, had populated a large area of the planet. There are seven basic colors of humanity in the universe: white, brown, red, yellow, blue, green, and black. Six are represented on Earth. Based on our current calendar, the beginnings of Atlantis would be around 31,000 BC. Some history of this event still rests with the American Indians and some other races, which have for years passed down the story of the Great Atlantis. The people of Atlantis were kind and generous and lived peacefully with the inhabitants of Earth. Although the Earthlings were far less developed, they were accepted into their cities and found jobs and encouragement, for no hate or prejudice existed in the minds of these spiritually developed travelers from the stars. Atlant had a wife named Caryatide, who was also ambitious and well thought of as a leader. She helped spread the civilization to new parts of the planet, founding cities around an area that today we call the Mediterranean. These smaller satellite cities were called Little Atlantis and lived under the same peaceful rule as the large cities. Caryatide had a father named Mirus. He was a powerful leader from the Lyran chain of families. After the successful beginnings of Atlantis, he came to Earth with thousands of his followers and built a city on the opposite side of the planet called Mu. Named after its founder, Mu grew to be a gigantic city. It slowly spread out and founded other parts of the planet. After many years, the many cities that fell under the rule of Mirus became known as the Kingdom of Lemuria. Mu was situated in the area we now call the Gobi Desert, which is an area between China and Russia. As the Great Society of Mu advanced, they built two underground cities called Agata Alpha and Agata Beta, located directly below Mu. The cities were connected together by underground tube systems which ran for hundreds of miles, carrying the citizens of Mu from one town to another. Eventually, even more underground tube systems were built and connected many areas of Earth. Although most of these underground tunnels have been destroyed over the years, some of them still exist today. Thousands of years of peaceful living on Earth produced the largest population ever to live here. Almost the entire planet was populated with cities on every continent that boasted a high quality of living and technology. Earth became known as a peaceful and tranquil place to live, attracting travelers from many different parts of the galaxy. Pleiadian history is not completely accurate here, but it is believed that as many as 8 more races from different worlds came to Earth during this time and blended in with the great societies of Atlantis and Mu. From the star called Sirius came a race of black humans who were very highly developed. They were not of the Lyran chain, but boasted a high spiritual level. They found it easy to live in peace with the artistic and creative people of Atlantis. Other humans came from the stars of Orion, Vega, and Hyades, who were also descendants of the ancient Lyrans. It was also during this time that a race arrived and started a new colony on Earth whose origins are still not known. They were an older race than the Lyrans and kept to themselves and were very peaceful. These were the colonies that founded the Asian communities on Earth, a different family of origin, but now part of the ever-changing mixture of the new Earthman. The Earth was becoming a melting pot of races and colors who lived together in peace and love. 16,000 B. C. Exiled to Beta Centauri. For 15,000 years the Earth lived in peace, the longest time for any civilization to ever make it here. It was a time of spiritual growth and development for all who shared the Earth. But as things would go, trouble started when a group of young scientists, bent on controlling others, tries to cause problems. Hungry for power, the peace of Earth was threatened for the first time in thousands of years. Fortunately, the people recognized the potential trouble and drove the scientists off of the planet. They fled into space towards a star called Beta Centauri, the closest sun system to Earth, located just 4.3 light-years away. Here they found human life on a planet and lived in exile. For 2,000 years these same exiled scientists and their followers schemed for revenge, while they built up great power and increased their lifespan. Because of their hatred for the rulers of Earth, they plotted to return and seek revenge and eventually attacked Earth. They were led by the Ishwish, Arras, who intended to destroy Atlantis and Mu. Robbing, murdering, but only able to take over small regions of land, they settled in the northern area called Hyperborea, which is today known as Florida. The Earth had not suffered through its axis shift yet, so Hyperborea was still north of the equator. 13,000 B.C. Adam and Eve. The second in power to Arras was a mighty scientist named Semjusa. He and the other followers were under strict orders not to have sex or social interaction of any kind with the original Earth inhabitants, who were very underdeveloped and even genetically impaired from experiments performed on them by the Lyrans years ago. Keeping to himself, Semjusa defied the orders and worked in secret, performing his genetic mixtures with animals and the subdeveloped Earth humans. He created many different forms of creatures and humans as he searched for a way to improve on man. In one experiment he mated an Earth female, called an Eva, with the higher evolved and older Lyran genetics, and created a more intelligent Earthman whom he called an Adam. In the Lyran language Adam simply meant Earth human, it was not his name. The Adam, by the way, was blonde, blue-eyed, and stood about 16 feet tall. The experiment worked so well that Semjusa tried it again and created another Adam, a female. Both of his Adams were great advancements in the human form and were more like the Lyrans than the Earth humans. As their intelligence and evolution had been greatly improved, he decided to keep them alive for study and kept their existence secret for many years. When they reached maturity, he mated the two Adams together. This was the beginning of the legend of Adam and Eve. The two Adams had a child called Seth, who became the firstborn son of the new human race on Earth. It had been 22 million years since the Lyrans had first used the Earth humans to create all manner of ape-like creatures, ruining the natural evolution of the Earth human, and now Semjusa had created the beginning of the wise and intelligent human race. It was his hope that he had been able to set things right and repair some of the damage caused by his ancestors so many years ago. Even though the natural evolution of Earth had been altered so many times, he had succeeded in giving Earthman a new chance to survive and grow. This was the birth of our current civilization as we know it. Some of the apes were created out of experiments mating man together with monkeys, and are not natural forms in creation. Arras and his band of terrorists continually started small wars around the planet. But these little skirmishes hardly had any impact on the great society of Atlantis and were not much of a bother for hundreds of years. Eventually Arras died, and his son Arras II continued to attack remote areas, taking control of what are now India, Pakistan, and Persia. They came in contact with the Sumerians, a peace-loving people who fled to the north for safety because they wanted nothing to do with the army created by Arras II. The Sumerians were tall, dark, and the descendants of the Syrians who first settled on Earth at the same time that Atlant started Atlantis. The Sumerians moved into the mountains and became an influence on the people living in India, Pakistan, and Iraq. The region they lived in was called Sumer and was a part of what is called ancient Mesopotamia. Later their ancestors would found cities known as Ur, Ruk, Kish, and Lagash, which have all become major archaeological sites in southern Iraq. The great knowledge of the Sumerians was handed down through the centuries and is preserved in pictographic and cuneiform writings that are still being examined today. The Sumerians are, for the most part, responsible for preserving the knowledge of life that was known during the time of Atlantis. India was then called Arya, and after a few centuries split from Arras II and made alliances with the great cities of Mu and Agupta. These small wars, which had no effect on the great power of Atlantis, lasted another 1500 years. Arras II grew old and was dying, but he succeeded in infiltrating his leaders into Atlantis and Mu, causing enough dissension to begin the talk of war. 9498 B.C. The end of Atlantis and Mu. The cries of war caused panic, and by the thousands the people too took to their beam ships and fled to the Pleiades for safety. The war instruments of Atlantis and Mu were of very large size and power. The army of Atlantis contained 4.83 million fighters in large ships, plus 123,000 small, individual beam ships and 16,431 remote ships equipped with the most sophisticated heat-dissolving beams. They also had 24,230 medium-class ships which were armed with terrifying weapons. But even with all this power, Mu was superior in technology and boasted weapons of greater force. The scientists of Mu, knowing of the coming events, ordered a fleet out into space to search for a large asteroid in the debris of the destroyed planet of Milona. Finding it, they attached a powerful drive system to it so that it could be hurled at Earth as a weapon of destruction. As the attack of Atlantis started, the leaders of Mu ordered the giant asteroid to be launched, but it was too late to save Mu. The Atlantean fleet dissolved the city of Mu almost instantly. All traces of Mu were melted away, which is evident by the smooth, flat ground in the Gobi Desert where it once stood. The underground cities of Agartha were damaged and thousands were killed, but many survived the Great Holocaust. Rapidly, the giant asteroid was steered toward Earth, with the dedicated pilots attached to it. Propelled by the great technology of the scientists of Mu, the huge asteroid of death was racing at incredible speeds toward Earth when some of leaders and scientists of Atlantis detected the oncoming asteroid. They knew there was no way to stop it, so they fled into space, leaving the millions of inhabitants of Atlantis to die. The asteroid hit the atmosphere and burst like a supernova, generating heat of over 34,000 degrees. The asteroid exploded less than 110 miles up, and in 1,000 small pieces hit the Earth like a shotgun blast. The continent of Atlantis melted beneath the heat of the blast within seconds, and the floor of the Atlantic Ocean was broken, causing volcanoes to erupt and bringing the sea to a boil. Water from the ocean hurled upward to a height of 20 miles, causing a tidal wave over a mile high to rush over the landmass of Atlantis. It continued on across the area we call the Mediterranean and flooded northern Africa and the land of Egypt. By our current calendar it was exactly the year 9498 BC, on June 6, when the great civilization of Atlantis sank beneath the ocean. The planet Earth rolled over on its axis, causing the seas to flow over the land, and volcanoes filled the air with smoke and fire. As the planet changed its axis and came to a rest in a slightly different orbit, the geography of Earth was forever changed. If you can picture the Earth as it is now, envision rolling the planet over until the state of Florida is where Greenland is now. That was the position Earth was in before the Great War. Florida used to be called Hyperborea and was the home of Eros and his warriors. The survivors of Hyperborea moved underground after the Great Holocaust and now live under Mount Shasta in California. The great continent of Atlantis, which was originally north of the equator, slid underwater and is now resting in the area of the Atlantic Ocean. From what I can ascertain from reading the contact notes, if you drew a line from Puerto Rico over to northern Africa, you would be outlining the northern border of where Atlantis was. This huge landmass formerly connected the continents of Africa and South America, but now is barely a memory. Remains of Atlantis can be found on the ocean floor off the west coast of the Bahamas in a small group of islands called the Bimanis. Here on the floor of the sea, oceanographers have discovered the remains of what appears to be an ancient city and have uncovered roads, walls, and other monuments which may tell the story of the last days of Atlantis. Also south of Puerto Rico, deep down under the water, you can find the tops of pyramids built by the Atlantean that still rise up through the ocean floor. This is all we have found so far to remind us of the greatest society that ever existed on Earth. 9448 BC. Jovian controls the Earth. Soon after the War of Revenge by Arastu, he was murdered by his third-born son, Jovian, who seized power over the Aryans and the other two remaining nations of life on Earth. The tremendous destruction caused by the asteroid hitting the Earth had left the atmosphere unbreathable on most parts of the planet, driving the survivors underground. It was 50 years before the air began to clear up and small tribes of people began to once again be seen on Earth. There were three basic groups of people left after the destruction: First Nation, the descendants of the Armus people who lived in the area known as Armenia since 33,000 years ago, they were immigrants from the Pleiades system. Second Nation, the scattered tribes of Persia, India, and Pakistan, who were known as the Aryans at that time. Third Nation, a worldwide spread of gypsies called Hebrews, which in the ancient language of the Pleiades was Hahans. An Ishwish named Jehovan governed the three tribes until 7,000 years ago when he was murdered by his only son Ja'af, who, like his father, called himself the creator of man. During this time, a group of 160,000 Great Aryans deserted the rule of Ja'af and wandered through the lands to the east, moving into the area between the Caspian Sea in northern Iran and Ararat Mountain in Turkey. This area was full of the descendants of the Sumerians, who led the local people with great discipline because of their highly developed knowledge of spiritual powers. The Aryans attacked and pressed the people into bondage and created a new state. Deprived of all technology, the Aryans soon began to mingle with the natives, and all previous talents and knowledge soon disappeared and were forgotten forever. It was only 1320 BC when Ja'af was murdered by his first son, Arasim, who had two sons named Sulam and Ta. They were more peaceful in nature and stood up against Arasim, driving him and his followers out of power. Arasim did not have the power to fight back, for his followers were few and his technology was no match for the great armies commanded by his sons. So he secretly returned and hid in an underground city below the Giza Pyramid in Egypt. He made plans to take over the world by controlling the thoughts of world leaders and filling their minds with lies, deceit, and delusion. Meanwhile, Ta and Sulam governed together and created peace until Ta was stricken by a disease and died in his 93rd year. This left Sulam to rule until he became old and weak, turning the rule over to his son Plejos in 40 BC. Plejos was a peaceful ruler and had aligned himself with the High Council of the Pleiadian system. Arusim, meanwhile, has been governing his band of evil followers, called the Bafath, and hiding in Egypt since 1010 BC. He was taken over by a ruthless leader named Hen, whom the Hebrews called Jehovah. He was known as the Cruel One to his followers. In 80 BC Hen was overthrown by a new leader named Kamagol-Ahi and his followers had to hide from the power of Plejos, and were forced to continue living below ground under the Great Pyramid in Egypt. Their technology was failing and their lifespans dwindling. His son, Kamagol II, was even more ruthless than he was, and as soon as he was old enough, he challenged his father for power. After seizing control, he put his father in a deep, dark dungeon and left him there for years until he died. He was one of the last long-living leaders and would die in 1975, leaving 2,100 of his evil followers behind. By this time the Bafath, deprived of most of their technology, were controlling the minds of 723 Earth people through telepathic means, and these 723 represented their last hope for controlling Earth. 10A.D. The Pleiadians leave the Earth. 2,000 years ago, Plejos, the last Pleiadian system leader on Earth, was informed of the peace agreement between the Pleiades system and the High Council of Andromeda. A new era of spiritual growth and peace had come to the Pleiades, causing Plejos and his followers to want to return to their home system. It was decided to leave someone behind who could carry on the teachings of the creational knowledge taught by the Pleiadians. They would need an Earthman who was a leader among men and who could carry on the teachings of higher consciousness. This human was called Jmanuel. He was not born of Lyran descent, but as a very evolved spirit form capable of the highest order of spiritual understanding. It was arranged for Jmanuel to be procreated from a further of high evolution from the Pleiades, named Gabriel, and an Earth woman of Lyran descent, named Mary. As the Pleiadians had hoped, Jmanuel easily grasped the teachings of spirit and provided the foundation for what is today called Christianity. He lived for 115 years and brought the truth to all he could through his teachings. 74 years after his death in the year 189 AD, his name was changed to Jesus Christ, and his teachings were written down to form the religious teachings that prevail today. The Pleiadians draw our attention to the fact that we have spent more energy killing each other over Jesus than we have spent learning from his teachings. Pelagius and his followers had returned to the Pleiades and ended thousands of years of Pleiadian and Lyran influence.